Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Melody Cederstrom, and you're listening to Financial Survival. I'm here with my co-host, Alfred Addisk, to bring you our opinion and commentary on today's economic and political events for Friday, January 8th, 2016. Good afternoon, Al.
Hello, Melody.
We have Rob West joining us in the during the second and third break today. We'll be connecting with him through Skype during our break. And but first, let's go ahead and go over the market reports. It was a pretty incredible day in the stock market. All morning long in the futures, before the markets opened, the Dow was up almost 200 points in the futures. Settled down when the big jobs numbers came out. It stayed strong, and then it just slowly lost the gains, and I'm looking at a Dow that is down over 1%, down 167 points at 16,346. I really expected the market to be higher today due to the job reports, and being on a Friday and considering the amount of losses during this week, I sure wouldn't want to be holding on to paper on this weekend. But the NASDAQ was down 45 points at 46.43. The S&P was down 21 at 19.22. 10-year yield, you know, a little, the yield is down a little bit, but not by much, 2.13%. You know, shows some people going into a safe haven there, but not a lot. And the euro, a little pressure on that, 109. The foreign markets, Germany was down about 1.3%. The rest of them were fairly quiet. China did manage, I think, almost a 2% up on the day after they canceled out their all their stops that they learned didn't help. I'm not so sure it's going to help their stock market, but it did today anyway, as so is what is reported. Did I hit everything, Al? I didn't do gold and silver, did I?
No, I don't think so.
No, I did. I went right to the stock market.
You didn't
market
do platinum or palladium.
And I didn't. And I didn't do this. And I didn't do that. Right.
Mm-hmm.
Well, let me do it.
I think it was a Monday instead of a Friday.
No, it was a very active day, and I'm just a little surprised that the Dow continued to be down in such big numbers with those job numbers, but I think everybody understands
They're going to have to fabricate better numbers.
They're going to. Mm-hmm. Gold, little pressure, down 550 at 1104.70. Silver was down 37, still above 14 at 1404. Platinum was up 3 at 883. Palladium unchanged at 496. The USDX, of course, is stronger, 0.13 at 98.45. And a downward pressure also on crude oil, down 39 at 32.88. And just a couple of things to go over while we before we bring Rob on at the first break. U.S. wholesale businesses, they trimmed their stockpiles for a second straight month. And U.S. wholesale businesses, their sales have plunged by the largest amount in 10 months. The Commerce Department says wholesale inventories fell 0.3% in November following a similar 0.3% drop in October. Sales plunged 1%, which was the biggest setback since January. We also had another report that came out today. U.S. consumers boosted their borrowing in November. Higher credit card spending offset slower growth in auto and student loans, which is really surprising. And, you know, maybe this is just a, maybe a lagging indicator to some degree, but you're looking at auto sales that supposedly had this robust end of the year splurge in numbers. And, but yet U.S. consumers, the Federal Reserve is saying that, they had slower growth in auto and student loans. So again, if you read these numbers and you look at these reports, you see anymore their lying has gotten so bad. They can't keep the numbers straight, and you can easily see through the reports that they reproduce, that they produce. But the Federal Reserve says consumer spending borrowing rose $14 billion in November to a fresh record high of $3.53 trillion. Job gains in the labor market, again, is being credited for the consumer confidence and convincing households to take on more debt. That's even better for gold. Go out and spend, go out and increase that credit card debt and go into debt. That'll only help gold in the future. And as I mentioned, the job report was out earlier today. The U.S. employers added 292,000 jobs, bringing the year's total growth to 2.65 million. The unemployment rate held steady at 5%. But nearly, there was three areas where supposedly all these jobs had these stellar gains in 2015. It was professional services, healthcare, and restaurants. Now, these are not all high-paying jobs. When you're looking to restaurants, healthcare has a lot of paper pushing and filing anymore. The professional services include accountants, architects, you know, attorneys, administrative services, and the one that I think really pushes this number to that level, temporary workers. So, again, I think the job market is being skewed as far as the importance of the type of jobs that are being created, if you believe that 292,000 jobs were created in December. Yes,
they're
we had
skew, they're skewing around with the job numbers then. Is that right, Melody?
I would believe so.
Well, it's interesting. And it's more evidence. It's just interesting. They have almost certainly falsified the job numbers. We can presume part of the purpose for falsifying the job numbers was to make the markets go higher. The markets didn't go higher, which means that, like, it brings to mind the analogy of certain addicts that need a bigger and bigger dose to get high. As they get more addicted, it's not enough to give them a little dose. You got to give them a bigger dose. You got to give them a bigger dose. We have a marketplace that's addicted to the government's lies. Right? We can make that argument, at least. We can explore that hypothesis. And if the government doesn't deliver big enough lies, the market doesn't react. They are addicts, and small lies will not get it done anymore. We need big lies. Next time they give us a job report, maybe it'll have to be 500,000 or maybe 1 million. But it's all nonsense. Sooner or later, and it really does look as if we're getting closer to a moment when the public might not accept the nonsense. We've had a very interesting week for the markets, for the stock and for the stock markets. All right, we've gone down 1,100 points in the past week on the Dow Jones. I don't know what percentage. That's probably about 6-7% over the course of a week. It's not necessarily the onset of some sort of a crash, but it's got to be disturbing to people that are invested in the market. Has to get people talking to themselves. They are probably relying on the Federal Reserve to raise the market back up. Most people are a little bit apathetic about a decline in the market because they rely on the central planners at the Federal Reserve and the government to do whatever is necessary to prop the markets up, and next week it should be business as usual. We should be back up in the up over 17,000 next week, maybe 17,500, something like that, because the Federal Reserve is going to support the market. They won't let it fall permanently. They'll raise it back up. And a lot of investors are confident in that probability. They're not confident in the free market per se. They're not confident in the value of stocks. They are confident in the government and the Federal Reserve's determination to artificially sustain the market. But if it turns out next week that we have another decline in the stock markets, significant decline, but perhaps even any decline over the course of the week, I don't just mean one day. I mean if the week itself winds up lower than it is today, then I think people are going to have to start taking this seriously, and they're going to have to sit back and say, wait a second. Wait a second. You don't think that the government might not be able to support and sustain the markets anymore, do you? You mean maybe the game isn't rigged, or investors are sure to win? What now? And I think that's where we're coming. We're headed toward a moment when people are going to realize that the Federal Reserve and the federal government is not here to hold your hand any longer in the markets. I don't think they can. I think they're out of corn cobs. I think they're out of resources. Everyone understands that quantitative easing has not worked significantly anywhere in the world. It's been tried in one form or another for most of 20 years, if you go back and start with Japan. Hasn't really worked. Zero interest rate policy, ZIRP, trying to hold the interest rate down next to zero to encourage people to borrow, go into debt, create more debt instruments to stimulate the economy. Hasn't really worked. The people are, to some degree, indifferent to the little doggy treats that the Federal Reserve has been handing out. And as a result, the little doggies are no longer doing the tricks that they're supposed to do. Government comes out with quantitative easing, lots of easy money. People should borrow, go deeper into debt, buy stuff, stimulate the economy. They're not doing it. Not to a significant degree. Come out with ZIRP, stimulate the economy, encourage consumers to borrow more money, spend more money, stimulate the economy. Consumers really haven't taken the bait. I don't think the federal government and or the Federal Reserve have any more viable tricks to stimulate the economy. If the public won't react to an excess of currency in circulation, and they won't react to near zero interest rates, what's going to make them buy? And if they won't buy, how do we stimulate the economy? I think we're coming to that moment, and if we are, and we're going to see strange things happen. I won't even say they're strange. We're going to see dramatic things happen in the stock markets. We're going to see people begin to bail out on the stock markets. We're going to see them start to cut losses. They're going to begin to realize, oh my gosh, this thing's going down and the government's not going to stop it. Now, that's the big question. Will the government and or Federal Reserve stop a significant decline in the stock markets? And if we can judge by this last week, the answer is no. Now, that may be premature, but next week, if this continues and the government still doesn't stop the markets from falling another 500 or 1,000 points next week, we have to at least presume the government and Federal Reserve are no longer in control. They're no longer able. They don't have the resources, don't have the tools, and they certainly don't have public they are losing public confidence in their ability to manipulate, control, and sustain the markets artificially. They're going to do that? Well, we're going to see trouble. Those of you that are invested in that paper market, you may wish you weren't before long. The flip side on the coin is gold is up something like $44 over the last week. That's pretty good, right? For a week's work, it's certainly good compared to what's happened in gold over the past several months and even years. It's been a big week for gold, really. Can we get another one next week? How soon before we see the second big week for gold? Next week, week after that, a month from now? We're right on the edge of something, maybe. We're right at the point where things are starting to turn. And if we are, now is the time to get your gold. Chances are, certainly if the turn is here, we don't know that absolutely, but it looks like it might be. If it is, time to get out of paper and get into gold. What else, Melody?
Well, there's the job report. I have yet to see any numbers to really reflect the oil industry. All those job losses. People that have been laid off and so forth. There's a report out today that Alcoa has made a decision to cut 600 jobs, is shutting down part of its aluminum manufacturing operation along the Ohio River. I have family members who work for Tyco. They've been laid off since Christmas. So these plants and these manufacturing operations are not doing very well. So Alcoa is going to permanently close its Warrick operations by the end of March. They're still going to keep some of the people working at a facility that's, 10 miles east of Evansville. But I believe the layoffs, that is a major economic event in that area. And I think you're going to see a lot more of these layoffs that will be filtering through and will become more noticeable as these months roll along.
Well, all that can mean, if Alcoa is closing down mm-hmm. plants, all that can mean is the economy is in a state of decline.
Exactly.
We use aluminum and aluminum cans, little aluminum pie plates. You order something from the local Chinese restaurant, they deliver it. It will frequently come in an aluminum pan. It has to signal a decline in economic activity. And it strikes us that this is evidence of what's really happening, and the job report is evidence of what government would like to be happening. And you can kind of wish in one hand and do whatever in the other one and see which one fills up first. Probably out of base your investment decisions more on what's happening to Alcoa than what is allegedly happening to our job reports. We're going to take a break for some commercial announcements. Melody and I will be back in a moment. Our guest is Rob West. He should be here when we return. Please stay tuned to Financial Survivor.
Pandemics will be a part of our future. The question is, how do we protect ourselves? Are you willing to put your trust in untested vaccine, hoping it kills mutating viruses? Remember, in 1976, health officials tried to inoculate Americans with swine flu, and there was a 300% death rate for those inoculated, and millions were paid out in damages. God gave you a sophisticated immune system, and in times of need, you can make it 10 times stronger. So there's no need to panic. Just get prepared. Call Apothecary Herbs to order your upgraded pandemic kit. You will have 8 professional strength formulas offering broad spectrum immune boosting protection. Take a stand, have a plan, have peace, and request your pandemic kit today. Call Apothecary Herbs toll free 866-229-3663 or online thepowerherbs.com. That's 866-229-3663 or thepowerherbs.com.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on American Voice Radio Network and Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now. American Voice Radio Network is heard on Galaxy 19 at 97 degrees west, transponder 23, frequency 12115, audio PID 2595. AVR is heard on the left side audio channel, and AVR 2 is heard on the right side audio channel. Remember, both AVR and AVR 2 are on Galaxy 19. Same network, double the choices.
I'm Alfred Addisk here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival, and our guest is Rob West. Rob is a senior financial strategist for RME Advisors. He's involved in the Financial Preservation Network, and he's been on the program a number of times, and we look forward always to his appearance as a guest. Hello, Rob.
Hi, guys.
Hi, Rob.
Hello, Al. Hello, Melody.
How you doing?
Oh, hey, we got one of those snowy days here in Colorado. It's pretty nice. And pretty cold. Yeah.
I worked in Colorado years ago as a miner. Well, shoot. 35 years ago, something like that, I worked underground. And up above Basalt and Rudi Dam, and it would get down to 60 below working the graveyard shift. Where we were portaling in. We're up at 10,000 foot altitude, and the warmest it got was 60 below for about 10 nights. They shut the job down. Everything froze up. You couldn't keep things running, but it was something to see. It was an interesting event. Colorado's a nice country, beautiful country. What do you think about the new jobs report?
Interesting. What are the numbers really? Oh, wow. Melody and I talked a little earlier about this, and I listened in and earlier a little bit with your show. And, you know, what are the job numbers really worth anyway? And I've over the years come to notice that let's just wait till next month because they're going to revise them anyway. And, of course, you know, that's not
a big news item. And they may revise them again after that.
Yeah. Yeah. You know. Yahoo's cutting 10%. JCPenney's closing 47 stores, and a whole lot of things. It just doesn't add up. And Melody had mentioned the oil industry. You know, Colorado's a big fracking state here, and there's, I guess, worldwide over 200,000 jobs lost. And, you know, so the job numbers, that counts the McDonald's and stuff, and it's not generating the income of a lot of the other major parts of the economy that creates the velocity of money and it creates people to spend. And, you know, a whole bunch of employers are wanting to stay in business, but they want to keep people under 30 hours because they need to avoid the benefits. And then, of course, some of those numbers may have been reflecting seasonal numbers. And so I don't put a lot of stock in it, but it's I think you guys are like me, and we are following the longer-term trends. And like Melody and I were discussing a little bit earlier today, that the real tangible things at the end of the day that are paid for items and things you can really rely on and count on for your retirement is a lot more important than these day-to-day things, the stock markets, whether it be China or New York, the highly leveraged representations of the stock prices, and, you know, just things that can really vanish in a very short period of time. So, but it always makes the news, and of course we all know who makes the news. And, you know, five or six major companies control what we hear, and things seem to go unnoticed. But I think I mentioned earlier to Melody that, like, Wayne Gretzky played hockey so well, and he said, you got to go where the puck is going to be, you know. And so it's your shows, you know, shows like Melody and you, Al, you research and do these things, and you're trying to help people know where it's going to go, not where it is now or what the media wants you to believe. And
well, you're alleging that the media, of course, is manipulating the news. We're not getting straight information, generally speaking. We are frequently being deceived, or at least they're attempting to deceive us.
Well, you know, for a number of years I was in the Wall Street scene with major investment firms, and I know when I went to the office at 7:30, got coffee, listened to the shout-down from New York, and their agenda, what they wanted to promote, is a lot different than what the customers would hear, you know? Mm-hmm. And so I just know that, and that was back in the 80s. And it's, I'm sure it hasn't changed. It's probably accelerated a lot more with communications and internet and program trading and derivatives and just a whole bunch of things I never had to worry about too much way back in the day.
I think the difference between the 80s and today is that the manipulation is out there where they're shameless about it. Back in the 80s, they might have tried to manipulate public opinion. I don't doubt that they did to some extent, but they at least tried to conceal that manipulation. Today, you know, it's like, how much shall we say the job reports are? How many jobs were created? How's 300? How's 300,000? Okay, that sounds okay. Anybody want to go 400,000, 500,000? I mean, it's like nobody's even doing researching to find out what the real numbers are. And they don't even mind the public suspecting that that's the case. They just do it anyway.
Yeah.
I don't know. Does it mean that the public is so dumbed down, we don't care if they lie to us, we believe? Or does it mean if somebody's just being paid to generate numbers? They've got a random number generator up there in the government that tells us what the job report is every so often. And, it's programmed. It's more and more and more. Everything's good. It's out in the open where anyone who looks at this can see it.
Yeah.
The government doesn't seem to mind. You know?
Well, I think when plus or minus some years, you guys are right up in the, you know, five or six decades of experiences, different things like I am. And we grew up differently, and we had a different set of circumstances morally and ethically. And I think in the last 20 years or so, a lot of that's changed. And Melody, what do you think? You know, I was discussing earlier some things about the Reagan administration and Paul Volcker, and he had wherewithal to raise interest rates, and Reagan's administration lowered taxes, promoted business. I mean, it really turned that decade of the 80s around. And What do you think, Melody? Who's got the intestinal fortitude to do that kind of thing now? You know, I think the major banks are controlling things way so much that you know, they're willing to sacrifice economies and countries, actually.
Well, they're willing to sacrifice anything and anyone but themselves, and they know they got the government behind them. So, I mean, they're just going to continue to do what they need to do and just steal and grab anything they can. But, you know, I talk too, like when you look back to the 80s, and I mean, you could just see how this is all, you can see exactly what the government and the Federal Reserve has done to get us to point A and to point B where we are today. I mean, everything, it's just a logical, you can see how their rates adjusted and how it made money move here and there. Why 2008 happened, whether it was contrived or, you know, whether it was a surprise, I you know, it remains to be seen. But they did capture that crisis, and they moved it to the point to where they did globalize. They used that to globalize. I believe they used that crash in 2000, the NASDAQ crash, and Y2K to get everybody computerized. I mean, you had businesses that had to update all their computers, and everyone became computerized. It was globally computerized. Then after 2008, we became financial market globalized. And this is just this natural progression that we are today. And we used to talk about this all the time. They want to get everybody to the same playing level, and then they'll crash it. And I think we're close there. I think we're all, when you look at how our markets work together, and, you know, how they're so combined, I think we're at that point. And that's where they were going to crash it. I mean, we took it more on our living standards, our standard of living. And, yeah, that's already been, you know, hampered. But now that the financial markets, I believe they are all the same. And I do believe they will crash them all at the same time, whether it be slow or fast. Remains to be seen. I think I'm going to agree with you. You said earlier today you thought it would be slower. That would be a gradual.
Well, so many times I think different financial writers and news services and that, particularly newsletters, and you know, they're writing very dramatic things to get you to shock into reading and then subscribing. And they crash and meltdown, you know, all that stuff is like so urgent. So over the last 4 or 5 decades that I've been more knowledgeable with what's going on, I don't think we're going to hit that, you know, from Friday over the weekend, Monday, everything is completely different, never going to be the same. I think we're much more sophisticated than that, really. But over time, there's a real hazard, and some of these trends are just – so well put in place. I was reading the other night, there was during the Depression, I can't remember the guy, the government official's name, was put in charge of finding out why the Depression happened, and he brought it back to different cycles. And if you look at these cycles now, the Kondratieff is one of them, I know. There's 3 or 4 or 5 cycles. In late last quarter in 2015, 5 of those cycles converged. And meaning if it repeats what happened, you know, 9 decades ago, then you can just count on what's going to happen next, but it's not going to happen, close the market Friday and not going to open on Monday. But we'll see some of those days. We might even hit some trigger points. You know, Melody, like you said, China's market was open for 14 minutes, you know, that had to close it. I think we'll just be expecting that volatility. But definitely, I think the cycling trend is moving that direction. And I believe that the central bankers have already known this, and they've positioned themselves well enough in control centers to even, you know, I know they control the governments, and you guys know it too. I mean, It's the value of the, you know, the almighty dollar or the yuan or whatever it might be now.
Well, that's where we get into some interesting questions.
Yeah.
Given that the dollar has already lost over 95% of its value since 1971, and they went off gold as compared to gold, it's lost over 95% of its value. You got to wonder how long will that trend continue, and what happens when we get to 96% gone, and 97% gone, and 98 and 99, and finally get to 100% of the value of the currency is gone. At what point in time does that trend finally just say, uh-oh, we need a new color on our paper. We can't use green dollars anymore. We're going to need pink ones or something for some sort of a reset.
Well, the study of money is pretty interesting. And you mentioned, yeah, you know, the Nixon administration, what was it, in 71, mm-hmm, moved off the gold standard because they were circulating too many gold and silver certificates overseas. Some countries brought them back and took our gold because they could. And then one of the other major blows was the Clinton administration, I think, with the repeal of the Glass-Steagall Act. And it's just been, you know, who can get to the drinking fountain first now? Since then, nobody cares. And, you know, the realization of money as a store of value that you would reinterpret back into usefulness later to retire on, that is such a fallacy. That's why, you know, these backups with gold and silver are so important. And Mally and I were talking earlier, so many people want to get their 401k moving, and they're doing self-directed trading. And, you know, with their own IRA account is governed by the government. And if down the road the government runs out of funding and they want to change the rules on the IRAs, they'll take your money. They can, because they made the rules to create it. I mean, why risk that, you know?
Well, you know, technically, the green pieces of paper in your pocket aren't your money. Because
no, that's right.
The circulation, right? You don't actually own the little green pieces of paper. They were loaned into circulation. They still belong to whoever loaned them, and that would be the Federal Reserve at this point in time, unless and until somebody pays off that loan. You only have equitable title to the green pieces of paper. You don't have legal title to the green pieces of paper. You don't really own them. You can use them. You have a right to use them. You have a right to possess them, but you don't own them. Part of the reason government can seize them and take them away. You don't really own them. All right? They were loaned into circulation as compared to gold and silver dollars, which were once spent into circulation. You could own the money. You don't own the currency, and there are implications here that we aren't going to get into in this program, but it's part of the madness that we have embraced once we got into this fiat currency insanity.
Well, you know, that loaning into the system, then who establishes the initial interest rate for that loan? And that's how I got involved with really investigating the LIBOR interest rate manipulation. Mm-hmm. Which is a completely different topic. But people, what you guys do so well, particularly Melody and other guests she's had on, is we need to help people just research a little bit more and more, because 70% or 80% or 90% of what you think you can rely on for your future years in terms of financial stability is just, it has so many possibilities of vanishing and being redirected. I mean, I never knew this. For years, I was a certified financial planner and a registered investment advisor and all that. I was too busy keeping my practice open, and I wasn't even interested in this, you know?
Yep. But, yep. That's typical of most people. I mean, most of us are only interested in payday. What day does the check arrive so we can cash it, get down to the bar, get some groceries, go to the movies or whatever, take the wife and kids to a movie, whatever. People don't pay attention to real fundamentals, and they are far more profound than your bank balance. Because we don't pay attention, we are easily deceived, exploited, and ultimately robbed. Let's take a break for some commercial announcements. I'm Alfred Addis here with Melody Cedarstrom and our guest Rob West. We'll be back in a moment. Please stay tuned. Thank you.
job stress, financial obligations, or relationship problems have you feeling stressed out? When life is too much to handle, use Apothecary Herb's Emotional Stress Formula. Feel calm and more in control with herbs especially combined to provide the organic nutrition your system needs to help you cope. Complete instructions for maximum benefit and a money-back guarantee. You've waited long enough. Call Apothecary Herbs now. Toll free, 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International callers dial 704-875-8010 or order online at www.thepowerherbs.com.
Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, and Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
Folks, I'm Alfred Addis here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival, and our guest is Rob West, Senior Financial Strategist for RME Advisors. Rob is calling in from Colorado. I'm talking about job numbers, media manipulation. At one point, we were talking about whether the economy is likely to decline suddenly, which is what most people kind of expect and fear, or if it's more likely to decline incrementally, little today, little tomorrow, and so on. And I've said this before on the program, and maybe even when Rob was here, but I remember reading a book, an article, and I can't remember the source, but I remember reading it, where the author pointed out that we look back at the crash in 1929, all right, as the onset of the Great Depression. And in our minds, oh my gosh, the stock market was at a certain level and all of a sudden crashed to another level. And like throwing a light switch, we went from being in the roaring 20s to the Great Depression. Just happened essentially overnight. But according to the article I read, the average American, there was no consensus that we even were in a depression until 1933. Right? But 1929, it was not apparent. Most people didn't even think we were in a depression. Looking back, we've said, oh yeah, the depression started in 1929, but most people didn't even agree we were in a depression until 1933. Point being, number one, the depression did run incrementally. It ran slowly, for one thing. Point two, we could be in a depression right now and not be particularly aware of that reality. Does that sound reasonable to you, Bob? Rob, excuse me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, I think you just opened a really nice discussion point there because, there were some things that happened very suddenly. And, you know, some people jumping out of the building and stuff, you know, from the fifth floor or whatever. But mm-hmm. Those were the guys that were on margin, you know, and they were gambling anyway. But for the mainstream, you're right, 32, 33, and then that's when some things really kicked in that it was acknowledged. But I think symptomatically, things have already started, probably second half of last year. And I think we'll see more things, precipitating a problem more obviously in Europe and then Japan and then here. So I think we do have some time, but we're going to have some bumpy stretches until we see Dow 6,000, you know, but I think that's a huge possibility. But I don't think it's going to happen in a week, but this is a good time to get your house in order.
Yeah, there's still time. That's the point here. There is time to, if you agree with this fundamental problem, it's like the Titanic is sinking. Okay, but it hasn't sunk yet. There is still time to grab a life preserver, still time to get into a lifeboat. You don't have to spend your time in the salon listening to the music play and having another highball. There's time to act. Now is the time. You know, you're not helpless. We have an opportunity to save ourselves if we have the brains and the intelligence and the courage to do so. But you got to act.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, what I thought was important is in Europe, I mentioned this yesterday when I was doing the short program, January 1st in Europe, new laws go into effect. So that eliminating any protections for the depositors of banks. If you have savings in there, it can be stolen under the bail-in regulation. And, you know, we talk about Cyprus a lot, but now you have governments that are passing laws, legislation to make sure that, you know, whatever money is in the banks is available to them. And people, a lot of people do not know this. And those that do know it, they should be doing something to protect what they have.
They don't seem to even mind. The government is passing laws where you can be robbed.
Yeah.
You understand that, ladies and gentlemen? They can take your money out of your bank account. Huh? Why would they pass a law that allows the banks to rob you unless they intend to rob you? And nobody's doing anything about it. Isn't that interesting? Mm-hmm. What do we do? Let's go watch, you know, Dancing with the Stars or whatever. But we don't have to pay any attention to the fact that the government is passing laws. This is not just a question of, oh my gosh, the government is maybe going to rob my money. It's a question of the government is complicit in robbing taxpayers and bank depositors. This is a bad sign. We have a government that is working with the criminals, conspiring with the criminals to rob the American people. And those of you who want to sit back and say, oh, well, I trust the government. Sure, you know, we can trust the government. You be dumb, at least in my opinion. Yeah.
You remember, Al, some time ago, four months ago, I was on your show and I was discussing some of my research on the financial fraud and the LIBOR. And I put the muscle to a loan on the ranch here and had it expunged, which means it went away because I proved the LIBOR fraud. I remember you asked me this question. How many people do you think would actually do that? And you're right. I've talked to so many people. You know, I was talking to my insurance agent the other day, and how many people wait till they have a car accident before they call you to get coverage? I mean, come on, really? I mean, people, we're smarter than this. We need to step up and take some action. Is it politically incorrect? Who invented that term anyway? I mean, seriously, this is no time to be discussing that.
Yeah,
you know, that type of thing.
You know, one of the things I've dealt in legal reform issues for much of the last 30 years, and I have some notions that might be right, they might be wrong, but I guarantee you I try to express them as clearly as I can, and they seem true to me. And it's almost astonishing how few people pay any attention. And that's a little bit what I think you're talking about. You tell them, look, you could do this. You could stop your mortgage payments. You understand? Think about this, ladies and gentlemen. You could stop your mortgage payments. There is evidence that this works. And people, I'd rather pay my mortgage.
Well, Al, you and Melody remember back in the 70s when the fad thing in a lot of larger anchor department stores was getting established and the malls came out. And you could walk around inside a mall and go to all these nice stores. And each one of the stores got their own credit cards. And so you had to get, you know, 10 or 15 credit cards for all the major department stores. And then the advertising came out, you know, like it, charge it. You know, remember that? And then Visa and MasterCard said, hey, this is really catching on. So they came out, the bank says, we're going to get into that arena. And so Visa, MasterCard, Diners Club, American Express, they basically took over, you know, the credit industry, and they controlled, well, the media's control to the point where we all grew up differently through the 70s and 80s, but the guys that started in the 70s and 80s and now in the 90s, they just think that's just the way it is. And so that's why I think so many people right now appear to be apathetic with what you and I and Melody are talking about right now.
They seem incapable of defending themselves.
Yeah.
The concept of self-defense seems just foreign to them.
Huh?
And I guarantee if you're not going to defend yourself, no one else will. You're taking on great liability. And when this all blows up, they're going to be screaming and shouting and what's happened. And it's what's happened is you weren't paying attention. You had opportunity to save yourself, but you're not paying attention. There's some times when I've tried to communicate ideas to people that it's almost as if the good Lord has just said, you know, it's like in the Bible. Jesus said, some of you, he talks in parables because some of them get it and some of them are not meant to get it. Sometimes I think some of them aren't meant to get it. I'm not trying to compare myself to Jesus and the rest of that, but I'm just saying it is bizarre how hard you can try to communicate some of these ideas and yet people pay no attention.
Yeah. Well, you know, the media has been absorbed up to promote agendas in such a way that, you know, I'm working on a project now that's considerably different than what we used to do, but suffice to say, when you turn on the internet, there's so many things that goes on you don't realize, and you go to one of your favorite web pages for news, and you get these pop-ups of some of the products that you were looking to buy. Mm-hmm. Have nothing to do with your website, but the information system is being fed back through your computer into the internet. Yep. Somewhere along the line, you've opted in, and they know what your habits are, and you get another reinforcement of that picture of what you want to buy, and then you think, well, maybe I should just go to that page and see if it's on sale. I mean, we have been, we are a product of such high technology now, and it all started with subliminal messages and advertising and watching shows with little blips of subliminal information in it and all that kind of thing. You know, just, you know, so I used to blame people for being, you know, ignorant of the facts. Well, they were trained into being that way, I think, but they didn't know it, you know? Didn't know it.
I understand. They don't appreciate it. You know, one of the things about this, when if the Internet is studying me, I'm looking at the Internet at the same time the Internet is looking at me, and they're probably learning more about me than I'm learning about the Internet. But if the Internet is studying me, and they can put ads up because they know he's interested in this, we'll run these ads. He's like, they are playing to my impulsive nature. Mm-hmm. They want me to look at it and see and say, oh, yeah, let's get one of those.
I would suppose your cell phone's the same way.
You can't live on an impulsive nature. You have to be the kind of person, if you're going to survive, you're going to prosper, you are going to sit back and contemplate. You say, well, I'm interested in buying this and this and this, but I'm not buying any of it until I think about it for a few weeks, maybe a month, maybe more. But you've got to get away from that impulsive nature, and that's what they're trying. That's what credit cards are for, to buy on impulse. You don't have to buy because you have the money. You don't need the money. All you need is the impulse. And they cater to that, and I think it's a bad thing. People must think. They have to think about things, not just react on impulse, and we're being conditioned to be impulsive rather than thoughtful. Not a good thing. Does not bode well for the future of a lot of people in this country. And I bet, well, I don't know, does that strike you as something? Have you seen evidence of the same thing, or am I just imagining?
I think it's been building over the decades, and it's cell phones are part of it. Smart TVs are part of it. You know, Melanie and I have had conversations just off record about different things too. And, you know, quite frankly, we here in Franklin, Colorado, made a decision to move considerably away and kind of live differently. And a lot different than when I worked in, you know, with the Wall Street firms and all that stuff. But it's really enjoyable. I throw a log on the fire. We've got some acreage to take care of. We got some chickens to take care of. And there's a reason and a purpose for us making a decision to do that. And just like people should think about the purpose of giving Melody a call and just talk about the advantages of physical delivery based on the price that a contract is negotiating right now on the gold and silver. It's not the real price and the real value of the actual commodity. But you just never hear, like I was telling Melody earlier this morning, it just doesn't sound as exciting, you know, gold and silver, to own it, as it does to talk about, you know, the China market and all the things that seems to be, well, I wonder what the market's going to do today and look at the futures before the opening and all that kind of thing. You know, it's just, we've been trained a different way in the last 20 or 30 years, and it's not been, in my opinion, very good.
Well, again, when we're worried about what's happening in the market today, it's evidence that we are speculators, we are gamblers, we're trying to figure out how to make a fast buck between today and Monday, or today and next Friday, rather than looking at investments where we take a longer view and we sit back and say, this is going to be worth more 5 years from now than it is today.
That's a gambler. He needs that instant gratification.
I understand. He needs the rush. I don't even know if he needs the gratification in the sense of winning. He needs the rush. He needs the action. And maybe we don't. Maybe investors don't need the action. You know, maybe they can just sit back and do things sensible today and do another thing sensible tomorrow. And over a period of time, you become sensible and more sensible and more sensible. And before you know it, maybe you're prosperous. Right? We're out of time, folks. I want to thank all of you for listening.
Thank you, Rob.
I want to thank Rob West for being our guest today. That's Rob West, Senior Financial Strategist from RME Advisors. You can reach Rob at 303-472-0531. And again, 303-472-0531. Thank you, Rob, for being our guest. Melody and I will be back next Monday. In the meantime, may the good Lord bless you, me, Melody, Rob, and Frank, the producer. Bye-bye.
I work all night, I work all day to pay the bills I have to pay. Ain't it sad? And still there never seems to be a single penny left for me. That's you.